Hello, my name is Ben Burrell and welcome back to Bob Dylan Album by Album, a podcast that takes an in-depth look at each Bob Dylan studio recording, record by record. This is our final part on my favourite Bob album and also our final show for season one too. We're finishing by looking at an incredible couplet of songs that will become a victory lap for this classic album. The album in question is, of course, Blood on the Tracks.
I've seen love go by my door. It's never been this close before. Never been so easy or so slow. I've been shooting in the dark too long. When something's not right, it's wrong. You're gonna make me lonesome when you go.
As I've stated countless times when looking at this record, it feels like it not only discusses love and everything that goes with it, but it also acts as a timeline of the breakdown of a relationship. In fact, I don't think it's out of place to see these tracks reflecting the stages of grief as we move from denial to anger to bargaining to depression and finally to acceptance across the 10 songs. It begins on Open a Tangled Up in Blue, where we're presented with a couple as our narrator outlines their history with lines like, "She was married when we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force." It's also indicated later they were married with those lines about Papa's bank book and Mama's homemade dress. We then hear the story of their time together in different locations and periods, and by the end of the song, we find out they're not together physically, but there's little indication yet there's been an emotional separation. In fact, our narrator is still trying to be with her in the final verse as Bob sings, "So now I'm going back again. I've got to get to her somehow."
So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Some are mathematicians, some are carpenters' wives. Don't know how it all got started. I don't know what they're doing with their lives. But me, I'm still on the road.
During the next track, Simple Twist of Fate, it very much feels like this couple are still together, but in their final moments. The first two verses are their goodbye, and by verse three, we hear how the woman in the relationship has left with those lines of, "A saxophone someplace far off played, as she was walking by the arcade." Those uses of the words far off and walking obviously indicating that she is putting some distance between the two, all while our narrator is left in bed.
A saxophone someplace far off played, as she was walking on by the arcade, as the light bursts through a beat-up shade where he was waking up. She dropped a coin into the cup above a blind man at the gate and forgot about a simple twist of fate.
After this verse, there's quite a few lonely lyrics as our narrator spends time by himself, and by the final verse, he's starting to come into that second stage of grief, denial, as Dylan sings lines like, "People tell me it's a sin to know and feel too much within. I still believe she was my twin, but I lost the ring. She was born in spring, but I was born too late. Blame it on a simple twist of fate."
People tell me it's a sin to know and feel too much within. I still believe she was my twin, but I lost the ring. She was born in spring, but I was born too late. Blame it on this simple twist of fate.
That stage of denial continues on to the next song, You're a Big Girl Now, as we hear our narrator discussing a final meeting between the two with the lines, "Our conversation was short and sweet. It nearly swept me off my feet. And now I'm back in the rain and you're on dry land. You made it there somehow. You're a big girl now." He appears to still be struggling with the separation and is still very much in the denial stage, even as the song reaches its conclusion. Bob sings, "A change in the weather is known to be extreme, but what's the sense of changing horses in midstream?"
A change in the weather is known to be extreme, but what's the sense of changing horses in midstream? I'm going out of my mind. Oh, with a pain that stops and starts.
Finally, on the next track, we move to the anger stage in the form of Idiot Wins 7 minutes and 48 second tirade, culminating in that middle verse of, "I noticed at the ceremony, your corrupt ways had finally made you blind. I can't remember your face anymore, your mouth has changed, your eyes don't look into mine."
I noticed at the ceremony, your corrupt ways.
is almost completely undone on our next song, You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go, as our lovers have had a brief reconciliation. But it never feels concrete, and the whole song has a dreamlike sense, something I've mentioned in previous parts of this episode. This is something that's brought into the cold light of day, literally on track 6, Meet Me in the Morning, as our narrator comes to finally realise the relationship is over. It's not a full realisation, though. There's still some bargaining going on, bringing us to the next stage, as Dylan sings, "Well, I've struggled through barbed wire, felt the hail fall from above. Well, you know I've even outrun the hound dogs. Honey, you know I've earned your love." This song is anchored solidly in the bargaining phase, as our narrator is still struggling with letting everything go. We have a brief departure from this timeline in the form of the next track, Lily Rosemary and the Jack of Hearts, which acts as a little vignette that reflects the whole thing in the form of a self-contained Western tale. We're right back on track with the next song, though, and we've moved into the next stage, the depression phase. If You See Her Say Hello is the emotional low point of the record, not only with regards to the beautiful instrumentation, which is almost beautifully sad, but those killer lines too of, "We had a falling out, like lovers often will. And to think of how she left that night, it still brings me a chill. And though our separation, it pierced me to my heart, she still lives inside of me, we've never been apart." We also, in the final verse, have a last gasp attempt at bargaining before completely moving on to the next stage in the form of the lyrics, "Sundown yellow moon, I replay the past. I know every scene by heart, they all went by so fast. If she's passing back this way, I'm not that hard to find. Tell her she can look me up, if she's got the time."
Sundown yellow moon, I replay the past. I know every scene by heart, they all went by so fast. If she's passing back this way, I'm not that hard to find. Tell her she can look me up if she's got the time.
Our narrator is at his lowest ebb by the conclusion of this song, but he'd finally pick himself up and enter the final stage of acceptance on the next track, Shelter from the Storm. Not only does the title give us the feeling of this saga finally coming to an end, but the lyrics more than match up to that too, as Bob sings, "'Twas in another lifetime, one of toil and blood. Where blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm." Our narrator has been walking in the wilderness on the previous 8 tracks. He's almost become unrecognisable to himself, or void of form, but now he's coming into safety once again. Something that's continued on later verses of, "Not a word was spoke between us, there was little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm."
Not a word was spoke between us, there was a little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
This feeling of acceptance is made even stronger on album closer Buckets of Rain, as our narrator is finally able to look back over the relationship with a clear head. In fact, clarity is the main attribute of this song. It's unlike so many other tracks that talk of love. It's soaked in a feeling of acceptance and resignation. And while it's sad, it's not heartbreaking. It's more of a sigh rather than a cry. This is acted out in the matter-of-fact lyrics such as, "Friends will arrive, friends will disappear. If you want me, honey baby, I'll be here." Finally, our narrator isn't chasing his love. He's stating, "I'll be here." And for once, it doesn't sound like a desperate plea, more of a statement. This same feeling is present once again on the final verse of, "Life is sad, life is a bust. All you can do is do what you must. You do what you must do, and you do it well. I do it for you. Honey, baby, can't you tell?"
Life is sad, life is a bust. All you can do is do what you must. You do what you must do, and you do it well. I do it for you, honey, baby, can't you tell?
I'm going to make a bold statement here and say this is the perfect breakup song. This should be the song that anyone going through grief or a breakup should listen to. Forget I Will Always Love You or I Heard It Through the Grapevine. This song captures that sadness, but offers a clear light at the end of the tunnel, enabling its consumer to move on. It's also yet another example of Bob perfectly capturing a very specific emotion onto tape, which is an incredible career-defining feat that happens constantly throughout this record. Most would be lucky to capture it just once on a song, but Bob does it on almost every track on this LP. It's impressive as he manages to get down on tape emotions like heartbreak on Simple Twist of Fate, anxiety on Meet Me in the Morning, and that very unique form of jealousy that comes with love on Idiot Wind. You'd struggle to find too many other places where these emotions are represented so accurately to such a raw, unfiltered degree. Musically, Buckets of Rain sets a wonderful atmosphere for the lyrics. I mentioned way back in episode 1 of this podcast how producer Daniel Lanois and Dylan created an incredible atmosphere on the 1989 album Oh Mercy, and it's similar here, although it's not as sonically advanced as it would be a decade or so later. That reverb helps to highlight the clarity of the lyrics, as does the guitar movement.
Buckets of rain, buckets of tears, got all them buckets coming out of my ears, buckets of moonbeams in my hand.
I've always loved the guitar playing in this song. It's beautiful. Its picked style has a hint of classical guitar about it, which is nicely juxtaposed by some slightly shoddy playing in keeping with the rest of the album. But how does Bob capture that wistful feeling on the guitar's riff? Well, the main riff is played at the bottom of the fretboard as Dylan plays the 6th string and 3rd string together. The 6th string is open and the 3rd string has a note at the 1st fret, creating this sound. Which in itself sounds a little bit like a musical sigh. This is quite a warm, safe-sounding couple of notes, which is then given a little lift in what Bob does next. He moves the sound up the fretboard, first introducing the top string into the mix at the 2nd fret, which again complements the other two notes whilst adding a bit of lightness into that sigh. He amplifies this even further as he moves all the notes up the fretboard, going from the 2nd fret to the 4th fret on that top string, with others following suit, creating this sound. This does a pretty good job in creating that sense of resolution and clarity at the end of the album. The sound is moving up and we get a sense of elevation, like things are improving, things are looking up, which is literally happening on the guitar. This is also echoed on the bass, which moves up with the guitar, and interestingly, for the final track, we have a proper ending to the song too. There's a fair amount of fade-outs on Blood on the Tracks. Here, though, the riff comes to a definite end, where it's almost tied up in a musical bow, giving us a contented resolution. Not before, though, we get some nice noodling on the guitar, which, as usual, is played pretty roughly. Sonically, the preceding track, Shelter from the Storm, isn't quite as interesting. That stripped-back production makes us concentrate on the tune's best attribute, which is obviously the lyrics. I've always felt Dylan was at his best when there's an air of the slightly mystical about him, and here it feels like he's talking from a place that's not of this earth, almost like he's conversing with a higher power. We also have a prelude to his religious period with that line about a crown of thorns, as he sings, "Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrists and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm."
Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrists and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
That third line here is really interesting. A woven crown of thorns was placed on the head of Jesus during the events leading up to the crucifixion, which plays nicely into that feeling at the end of this album, almost like how narrator is crucifying his old self and moving on to be a new person after the events that have taken place over this record. There's a feeling of renewal and redemption everywhere on this track, especially in that opening line talking about his love affair, as he describes it, from another lifetime, and in the penultimate verse of, "I bargained for salvation, and she gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence and got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm."
"I bargained for salvation, and she gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence, I got repaid with scorn. come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm.
Here the woman our narrator is talking to dishes out scorn when he claims to be innocent. A blatant lie after the previous nine tracks narrative we've been privy to. Again, there's a feeling of our narrator dying and being reborn with that line about a lethal dose. He's asked for salvation and she gives him so much it kills his old self. She then once again brings him into safety in the final lines of the verse. This reoccurring woman in the song bringing shelter from the storm could even suggest our narrator has found someone new, someone more merciful than the last, which could be a physical woman, or there's even a suggestion this could be the Virgin Mary, which fits to a degree with the impending religious period, although feels a little bit early for me and I'm not wholly convinced. What remains though is the female subject does appear to have a spiritual aura about her. These last two songs are amongst my Dylan favourites. In fact, they might just be my top two. They feel so unique compared to other songs that represent these particular emotions and discuss love. They have so much depth that I haven't found on too many other songs. This, combined with Dylan's delivery, which sounds fresh despite its ever-increasing age, results in the album going from strength to strength as its tracklist grows. Blood on the Tracks doesn't fade out. In fact, it's consistent throughout with enough diversions to keep it interesting, and I think that's one of its biggest attributes. In a strange way, these last two songs are almost comfort songs. They offer an arm around the listener more than a drinking buddy or a friend at the end of the phone. They have a strange, placid, sad but almost happy mix of emotions, perfect after an album of doubt and confusion. Dylan was channeling the absolute definition of love in these verses and bars and manages to vocalise it perfectly.
Well, I'm living in a foreign country, but I'm bound to cross the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge, someday I'll make it mine. If I could only turn back the clock to when God and her were born. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm.
Our time with Blood on the Tracks is almost up. Listening back to this album recently, though, has reminded me of just how perfect it is. Even the supposed downsides of the amateur playing and the lack of production helped to make this record. The lyrics are obviously amongst some of Dylan's best, and whilst they trod the well-trodden path of love, they offer a fresh take and perfectly distill many different contrasting emotions. I can't think of too many other albums or even works of art where you sit there as the consumer totally convinced that the artist is perfectly articulating specific emotions and feelings you've had with almost terrifying accuracy. Dylan probably wouldn't make an album as good as this again, and I think this would be a big watershed moment for him. It pulled his career out of the doldrums, it witnessed the end of his marriage, it changed his creative process, and it changed the love song forever. This shouldn't be viewed as an album of classic songs. This should be viewed as a force of nature. And that is it for Blood on the Tracks. Thank you very much for listening. It's been a real joy, actually, over the last 5 weeks making these shows. It's just been, if I'm being honest, a good excuse to listen to, think about and talk about this album way, way too much. I hope you've enjoyed it. As I said at the start of the show as well, that's it for season one. We've done 10 episodes. I'm going to come back in October with 10 more episodes. In the meantime, I will do a special. I've written something that I'm going to put out as a podcast. That'll be available very, very soon. Details on that coming up. I want to thank you once again, though, for listening to this episode and for listening to the whole season in general. It's been a real joy over the last 10 weeks. If you could follow us on Twitter or Instagram if you haven't done so already, we'll update you on when season two arrives there. You can find us at Bob Dylan Podcast. And I'm going to do a couple of special blogs as well between season one and season two on our website. You can find us at bobdylanpodcast.com. Thank you once again for listening. And until next time, goodbye.